You gotta love it. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We are stoked tonight because the Eagles are back in the Super Bowl again within the last 5 years. So before we get into talking about all that and everything, let's just let the music play. Now, every week when the Eagles win, which unbelievably, this will be the 16th time we played Fly Eagles Fly, 16 wins in the 22-23 season. We usually play the official Fly Eagles Fly song, but there was a special version that happened on NFC Championship Sunday. And so we're going to let Jalen Hurts himself lead us in Fly Eagles Fly for this victory week heading to the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know why Terry Bradshaw took the mic away from Jalen when he was getting a little jiggy with it on the stage, but whatever, man. The truth of the matter is that the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. What'd you say?
I said Paul, Grandpa.
Yeah, no idea what that's about. Anyway. But the Eagles beat the 49ers 31-7 on NFC Championship Game Sunday. Controversy or whatever, we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of things with this game and the aftermath of this game. But the bottom line is the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and they're NFC champions. No one could ever take that away. You could say whatever you want about this team. You will never take away that they are the 2022 NFC champions. And you know what the thing is everybody with their bitterness and their hatred and stuff like that, 5 years from now, that's all going to be forgotten. And what will remain is that the Eagles are NFC champions of 2022. They are Super Bowl bound. As we know now, their opponent will be the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid. We're going to talk about all that, but it doesn't matter. This is the Eagles' goal from the start of the season. When we did our schedule preview, we felt that this was a possibility. I don't know if we thought Super Bowl, but we knew that this was going to be a good team. That they had a favorable schedule. And we knew by all the offseason moves, no matter what everybody else thought, we knew this team was going to be good. And as for the 49ers, all we heard this week was bang, bang, you know, and all that crap. Bang, bang, 49, whatever. No Super Bowl ring. Bang, bang, no Super Bowl ring for you. And I don't care. I don't care if you're upset about your quarterbacks getting hurt. That's on you, 49ers fans. You brought two duds to the game. You brought two guys that got busted up, and it happens. I was initially sympathetic, but then you showed your ass in the game, and then you've shown your ass as fans afterwards. So no sympathy from the Eagles fans. And honestly, if you look at the message boards, this is what I love about being a Philadelphia Eagles fan, is we are giving it back to everybody who's trying to tarnish this NFC Championship game win. They can all shove it up their ass is all I'm going to say, because y'all got played, you all got beat, and we're going to talk about it. Some great things. Lane Johnson played through a torn abductor muscle, groin injury, and he's back in the Super Bowl, unfinished business. This man, out of all the players, I really want to see him get this ring. Oh, there's so many of them that I want to see get this ring. But Lane Johnson is up right up there with them, because this guy is gutting it out for us. The way he handled Bosa on Sunday was a thing of beauty. And we have some video of it that we're going to show as well. We're going to talk about that tonight. One of the things that threw me off, Tubby, and I'm going to ask you how you feel about this. Now, during the game, Micah Parsons said some stupid stuff about the Eagles not tackling on that Christian McCaffrey play. And then he got schooled by NBC Sports Philadelphia, who asked him how he liked the view on his couch or something like that, which is really funny. But after the game, what really surprised me, and I talked to a lot of my Cowboy fans about this, is after the game, Micah Parsons actually posted this to Lane Johnson. And he says, "I don't think people realize what Lane Johnson is doing right now. Freaking heroic. One of my favorite players in the league." You know Micah wants to be an Eagle, I'll tell you what. And then he says, "Love you, big bro," because Lane Johnson just did the handshake emoji. And then Micah came back with, "Love you, big bro. Keep going. Not many like you. Definitely not playing like you healthy or with a torn groin. go win a bowl for our division. Now, this to me was one of the most surprising things that came out of the NFC Championship game is, our you know, Micah loves to run his mouth, but he does call it like it is. And he earned a little bit of respect from Eagles fans for this. I'm sure that the Dallas fans are not particularly happy with him, but it is what it is. And so what do you think about Micah reaching out and congratulating Lane?
You know, I'm going to start with first, fly, Eagles, fly. Man. We are in the Super Bowl. I don't want the first thing come out my mouth on this show to be about Micah Parsons. I want it to be about these Philadelphia Eagles, man. I'm excited, man. You know, when it came, the realization hit that the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, which was probably around the fourth quarter when I was like, damn, this is really going to happen. Really at the start of the second half. Well, when Johnson went out, how about that? I was like, wow, this is, when they started talking about Christian McCaffrey, I was like, wow, this is really going to happen. Everything's going our way today. And I'm not mad about it. But, you know, as soon as it happened, I told my wife, I said, man, you know, this is only the third time, you know, it's the fourth time the Eagles have been to Super Bowl. This is only the third time that I have been able to bear witness to it. And I told her about, you know, Ron Jaworski was talking to Jalen Hurts. I said, that's the other quarterback before I was born that took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And then I said, you have Donovan McNabb years. And then you have Nick Foles, Carson Wentz combo year. And then now this one. So I said, I'm really going to enjoy it. And I was just really just sitting there just trying to take it in because of how rare these moments are. I remember the four straight. We were almost going to be, or did we become, we lost four straight, right? The Buffalo Bills in the NFC Championship. We had to carry that for a little bit, right? Y'all guys are the Buffalo Bills of the NFC Championship. So I really embrace it because I remember, man, getting off work at Burger King when we were playing the Bucks, when Barber, I remember getting off work. I worked the early shift that day. I remember getting on my bike, riding home on my bike, getting home, getting, turning the game on and just being so disappointed when Rondé Barber had that pick six and we just got so dominated, man. And I remember that feeling. So I'm going to appreciate this time. I'm going to appreciate it because it sucked then. The Bucks were laughing at us then. The Panthers were laughing at us then. And anybody else we lost to in between there, they were laughing at us then. So I'm going to laugh now. I don't have any sorry or hurt feelings for the Niners because I remember, you remember in the 90s, Greg? Let me talk about talk a little bit. You remember in the 90s where people would gather around their TVs or you go to your friend's house if they had pay-per-view because it was this guy named Iron Mike Tyson out there. And you would gather around and the fight would be over in the first round. And you go, yeah. I heard about this guy, but now I've seen him. They've heard about these Eagles, but now they've seen us. And we came out, you know, and I'm not even going to get really into the game, but and we came out and punched them in the mouth.
Exactly.
We killed them in the first round. First drive, turnover, plus the KO. You could talk about the injury. Still a turnover. Still a strip sack. Yep. First drive, strip sack. We are who we thought y'all were. Hassan Reddick is that guy. You want to talk about Joey Bosa, Bosa this, Bosa that in the previews. Hassan Reddick, and he's from Camden, New Jersey, so I got to talk my talk. It's from Camden. Man, it's from my hometown of all places. And he goes in and makes – he was basically the MVP of the game for us, man. And it all started with that knockout punch. I'll get into the play, you know, as we go further. But
yeah,
I'm so excited, man. I'm really going to take in – really going to savor these next 2 weeks, man, up into the game. I'm really going to savor every moment that my team is still alive right now and only two teams can say that, and I'm gonna cherish this until it's zeros left on the clock on Super Bowl Sunday, man.
Yeah, you know what, and we're gonna get to the game in just a second, but I feel you because I got to get off of social media. I'm gonna talk about my social media experience after the game because people will try to steal your joy, and the bottom line is, and so I've been defending the Eagles on social media, defending it along with other Eagles fans, but the bottom line is, at the end of the day, like I said, no one can take this away. And it's so hard to go to a Super Bowl unless you're the Brady and the Patriots era. Outside of that, I mean, the Cowboys in the 90s. But again, anything around that Cowboys time and previous was that non-salary cap era. So you had these dynasties of teams like the Steelers. So whenever the Steelers or the 49ers start, you know, talking about all their five or six, seven rings or whatever, I have no respect for that because, I mean, I do respect the Steelers and Niners. I don't want to get too – those were great teams, but it was a different era. And to get four championships in a matter of 6 years or something like that, like the Steelers did, four out of five, it is impressive, but it would be more impressive if you did it today. What Brady and the Patriots did, even though they cheated a lot, what they did was more impressive because it was in an era where you had to compete and stay under the salary cap. And Brady himself took pay cuts in order for them to continue to win. And that's one of the things he's admired for other than just being a good quarterback. So it's outside of those guys, man, I've watched the Eagles, you know, my whole life. I remember that first Super Bowl with Jaworski. I remember being crushed as a little boy because I just became a football fan. I thought the Eagles were going to win that year, and they lost 27-10 to the Raiders. And I still rewatched that game back just because I remember it vividly. And to live my whole life through the Randall Cunningham years and Buddy Ryan, even Jim McMahon being an Eagle, and all these quarterbacks, Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer, going through everybody. And then to get to McNabb and have some success, like to be there was at least just something. But these days, these last 5 years, even though the Eagles haven't been back to an NFC championship, they've been competitive except for the last year that Wentz was here, because they brought in Jalen, and what a godsend to come in the 52nd pick and to be completely doubted last year, still get him to the playoffs. We knew that this guy was special. And he's done as much as he could to put this team on his back along with that defense. So you got to love him. You got to love these guys. And another one you got to give credit to is Nick Sirianni. And what's interesting is the date goes back to January 29th, 2021 was when Nick Sirianni had his infamous opening press conference with the Eagles, where he just put it all out there. And then on just exactly two years later, Nick Sirianni wins the NFC championship game with this team. And I love Doug Peterson as a coach, but Nick Sirianni has given this team an identity. Shane Steichen has given this team an identity, especially on offense. They've really built it around Jalen. You can see that when you watch their game planning. And it's impressive to see what they've done, both him and Steichen, as far as adapting to their opponent and being able to get them in a position they need to be successful. So just some quick images. This is the Eagles after the game, just holding up the trophy. Of course, I have, like with the NFC champion or the NFC East champion gear, I have ordered my locker room gear for the NFC championship. So I've got this shirt coming and the hat and another lithograph to put on my wall. It's a great thing. We want more. We want the Super Bowl, but I'm definitely stoked about this championship. But we're going to get into some pregame stuff that happened. And honestly, there's a lot of talk after the game about the 49ers. I'll say this right off the bat. 49ers fans, I thought the Cowboys fans were big whiners. I really did. Until we encountered 49er fan after this type of loss. You know, if it happened to any other team and anything like that, I think they would still be upset. But these guys are taking it to a whole nother level. But the problem I have with it is being upset that Brock Purdy got hurt and got knocked out of a game and then your backup got knocked out is one thing. But you came into our town and you put a jersey or a shirt on Rocky Balboa. You came up with your Brocky weightlifting belt like you got there and you stood in front of the statue. You put out pictures calling your kid Brocky and saying it was the greatest underdog story the Philly has ever seen. So you don't think, if you believe even a little bit in karma, that what happened to them on Sunday was just a little bit of karma. I mean, let's look at this. This is insanity doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We got the Patriots jersey on there when we beat them in Super Bowl. The Vikings when they did this stuff. I'm going to make this perfectly clear to anybody coming to Philly in a big game. You need to quit it because it's not worked for you yet. You want to put it on afterwards and take a picture? Do that, but don't ever do it before. And another thing I'll say is if you're the member of an opposing team, don't call us a paper defense, a good on paper defense like Nick Bosa did. They gave so much or bulletin board material going into this game. It was insane. And it's like the Eagles really don't need to get motivated, but you can't say it doesn't help. Another factor in the game was the honorary captain. I mean, he needs to be the honorary captain again for the Super Bowl. B-Doc was the honorary captain for the game. So that is intense. It was so much to really enjoy. Plus, it's the fact that these three guys right here, these three legends, Brendan Graham, Fletcher Cox, and Jason Kelce, it might be their last game at the link. It might have been. You know, Jason Kelce could retire. Brendan Graham would be moving on. We know Fletcher Cox is kind of in that, you know, in between zone. I don't know if any of those guys will be back. This is a run for everybody on this team. This is an extremely important run. So getting to the actual game, all of that on the table and all of that disrespect that we talked about going into the game, it played out right off the bat in the opening drive. The Eagles were putting their nose down and getting the tough third downs. I loved the fact, again, like in the division round, that they got the ball first. Because normal during the regular season, it was nice for them to have it to start the second half because they could build on it. You get that double dip if you can get the last possession before half. But both the division round and the NFC Championship, it was very important to make a statement on that opening drive and get those points because you're playing against the number one defense. If they were able, God forbid if they'd have gone three and out, that'd have been the opposite effect. But if you're able to get down the field with that opening drive and score, it really puts the defense back on their heels. And the opening drive was beautiful. What do you have to say about that opening drive? We know what happened at the end of that opening drive, but what do you have to say about the opening drive as a whole?
You know, it's always a big moment when your team starts the game, like you said, no matter what, it's almost like, it's like the opposite of, it can have the same effect as kicking first in soccer. If you score first, the psychological effect could be damaging going down. Now you always feel like you're behind one. I think starting a game and scoring a touchdown is like the same way. If you can get them up, if you can get up seven on that first drive, man, you can really hurt them, which was a part of the Eagles' problems last year. A few times last year, we would give up points that first drive, and then we feel like we were like chasing it the whole game with this new offense, this whole new put together. But you know, I mean, the first drive, I thought it was smooth. I thought, you know, third down, Jalen made a good throw to A.J. Brown on that third and six where he was kind of falling back with that blitz. I think Warner. Watch, yeah. Too much Bundesliga. Warner, I'm telling you, man, I can't even pronounce W's in my own language anymore. Is there V's to me? But anyway, but, you know, with coming in untouched, for Jalen to get that ball off, I was like, okay, cool. He's going right to the spots, right to the openings. And then obviously the big play, you know, I thought the offense was balanced. I said, okay, you know, that first play, we were able to run the ball 4 yards. I say, ha ha, ha ha. You know, I was like, we can run. I said, ooh, we pushed them. We pushed them immediately because again, they've heard about us, but you haven't gotten across from Lane Johnson, Maiolata, Kelce, Dickerson, Samaje. You haven't been across from these guys. See, it was easy to say what the Niners would do because they knew we weren't going to face them this year. They knew it was a slim chance, especially when they got that number two seed. They just ran away with the Niners rhetoric because they knew it was a slim chance that they would be able to back any of this up. And I thought the Niners defense saw very early on that, man, these guys can move the ball. So, yeah, you have the Devontae Smith. Might as well talk about the elephant in the room on the first drive, right?
I want to say something before that because a lot of people are talking about the Devontae Smith, and we'll talk about it. But the key before that was they on that drive, they completed a lot of third down plays. They were in third down, let's see, at least four times they were in third and long. Let's see, one, two, three times before the fourth and three. So they were in third and 10 on the 42, and Hurts hit Goddard with a beautiful pass over the middle for 10 yards to get him down to the 35 yard line.
Right.
For a 7 yard gain, really.
Yeah, for seven.
And so they ended up getting stymied to where they got that set up the fourth and three. Mm-hmm. So third and 10, they get a 7 yard gain. If they don't get that play to Goddard that just falls short, it's like we know the Eagles. In fact, the announcers even said it.
Yep.
They play to play on fourth down.
Yep.
They didn't go for all 10 yards because the Eagles go for it on fourth. And I remember, you know me, I've used to hate it. But this is their game. they look at if anywhere on the field could be four down territory for this team. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because that pass to Goddard for 7 yards, then you knew they were going to go for it. If they don't complete that pass and it's fourth and 10, they probably punt. But Hurts hit Goddard. It was beautiful because they left the middle of the field wide open because they were protecting that 10-yard zone.
Right.
And so then this play happened. And this is the one everybody's talking about. And it is what it is. First of all, it wasn't the best pass by Jalen, but it was a decent enough pass. Definitely overthrown. But, man, if this would have been fully complete, legit complete.
I wish we had the play live. You know, on two of the overthrows, this one, I think this one looked a little worse. I think Smith got a little lost because you notice he backpedals for about 3 steps because he's off. He turns, he backpedals for 3 steps and takes a leap backwards. So I just think he didn't know where the ball was going to end up at. But if we had the play, you'll see Smith run, he'll see the ball. But it's like he thought it was going to come shorter. And then this is like a reaction. So he takes like 3 steps back and then he has like this reaction. So I didn't know if it was I thought it was initially an overthrow. But when I saw it back, I was like, Smith should have been a little more sure on the route. Like if he just ran straight, he probably could have actually caught the ball and kept going. Either way, spectacular efforts on the play by Smith.
In full speed, I thought it was a catch. At full speed, my son was texting me, and he said, oh, Devontae's getting up like he dropped that, because he was signaling, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, I think it's a catch. And my son was like, that's not a catch, Dad.
I told my wife the same thing. I said, I don't know what happened. I said, but this right here means I don't know, but let's get up. That's why they ran like that nothing play. Remember, Jay, everybody hiked the ball. It was a nothing play.
Completely nothing on that first down. Mm-hmm. And the thing was to me, and we've heard this coming out of the game, I heard all the 49er fans, this is one of the biggest things they whine about. And one of the things that cracks me up, and I will get talked to more about later, is that I've had 49er fans actually blame the referees for missing this. Now, if you look, the official that is in charge of this play is on the other side. He cannot see that the ball hit the ground.
Right.
And it's a bang-bang play. It is not, and I'll say this again to all the 49er fans who I messaged on social media, I will say this for you again right now, all the way in the back so you can hear it. It is not the responsibility of the booth or the officials on the field to replay any play that is not a scoring play outside of the final 2 minutes of each half. Do you hear me? Go read the rule book. It is not, I'm going to say it one more time, the NFL's responsibility to replay. It is always the coach's responsibility to challenge. Now, they can show angles. They are supposed to be able to assist the coaches before it gets to the 20-second clock. But we know on this type of play, they reset 25 seconds. Boom. That's not a lot of time if the Eagles are going, hurry up.
One thing that happened, just to finish out,
Shanahan should have seen that they were rushing to the line.
Good point.
And that flag should have come out whether he thought it was a catch or not. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know it wasn't a catch, and you're going to blame the officials. So if anything, it is on the coaching staff first. You can get ticked off all you want, but it is the coach's responsibility. Now, what were you going to say?
I thought it was good of the Lincoln Financial Field staff for not replaying it. They never replayed it. So you see Kyle Shanahan looking up, but they never replayed the play. That was something that was brought to my attention this week. And I said, oh, I never even knew that. You see Shanahan looking up. Because I think if he sees the replay, because even the initial replays they showed, they never even showed that angle. It wasn't until the Eagles got the ball, you know, ran that nothing play. And then the next play, they score. So by the time they score, which was all of a sudden you score. And then like when they come back, they show. So the Eagles had all, by the time I even saw, even at home, even saw that that was not a catch. The Eagles had already had 7 points on the board.
Right. Unbelievable.
So shout out to Devontae Smith for, instead of getting up, flexing, doing a bunch of madness and showboating, he got right up and he was responsible and said his head was in that. That's how you know when your head is in the game. He knew it was iffy. I'm not saying that he knew he dropped it completely, but he knew it was iffy. And he had the wherewithal to get up and say,
yep. And again, what you just did there, enough to play. They've talked about that this morning, is that's their signal. Right. Let's move. I might be in trouble. They didn't want that replayed. And honestly, they moved so fast to get that next playoff. Number one, that's a clue to challenge. But number two, they did it so fast that the 49ers didn't even have time to think about it.
Right.
They didn't even have time to think about it. So, you know, when you're trying to make a decision, you need a couple of seconds before the 49ers could even contemplate. They were looking for replays, and there was none to be had. And, you know, they get the throwaway, and then Miles right off the bat, you know, again, against the number one rushing defense, threw them like butter.
Yeah. The biggest
threw them like butter.
Here, the biggest yes. difference here, and it was pretty much throughout the game. You know, when I first watched the game, I came away like, yeah, man, Jalen didn't have a good game passing. But when I watched it again, I was like, it wasn't horrendous. Because on a few of those plays, they were blitzes. I know some of the plays that looked bad, like the pass out to Gainwell that went for a first down, but like it was behind him. But you look at the play, a lot of whiffs on this man. Guy comes straight in. Jalen kind of throws it like a shock value to it. Like, oh, like kind of gets it off like that. So I was like, man, the AJ throw was just a miss. Yeah. It was just a miss. The ball just kind of like he just really didn't step into it. And yeah, it was a miss. I did think it was a little weird that AJ was outside, then he cut inside. Then he's looking at the safety, and now he's looking at the ball. Like, if you really look at every little detail, AJ's not on his horse. It's still an overthrow, right. But AJ's not on his horse. You watch the play back. AJ's running, then he gets inside. That steps away. That's timing. Then he's looking. He's literally looking at the safety, not even the ball, but at the safety. By the time he looks at the ball, then he tries to accelerate. Like I said, overthrow there. But what I thought Jalen did well, his reputation preceded himself with the RPO. And when you look at that drive, if we had like the replay, you'll see the Niners linebacker just hesitate for a split second. And Sanders is untouched. Why is Sanders untouched? If they know the ball is going to a running back traditionally, they come downhill.
Right.
But Jalen just makes you wait a half a second. And with the talent of our linemen, that's too long. You've lost. That means they're already downfield. And that's what I thought that Jalen, even though he didn't pass the ball, he wasn't as accurate as I would like him to be. But he didn't turn the ball over, which is always key, man. Don't turn the ball over. He didn't hurt us.
Right.
And on those RPOs, you watch every RPO. You see Greelaw and Warner flat for at least a second. And then next thing you know, Kelsey's down your throat. Next thing you know, you can't even get the momentum towards Kelsey. Kelsey's at you now. And then you have Greelaw still just standing there completely flat footed because he's just looking at Jalen. So every little touchdown, man, it kind of had that little feeling to it. The Bart Scott one, they're flat. And then next thing you know, Scott's going, it takes the Eagles line. It's like nothing they've seen. You've seen Bosa taking a bunch of bad angles. He did take the good one on Jalen.
Right.
But I don't want to get too far ahead. So,
but the interesting thing you bring up.
How well he did with the RPOs on that.
Yeah. The interesting thing that you bring up is because I texted you, because after the touchdown, they had a bunch of plays where they were running on first down, which I thought was too easy for the 49ers because 49ers play run on first down. They know what teams' tendencies are. So you're running into the teeth of the defense. You've got Miles or whoever behind Hurts, which is a key signal. Unless you're going to play action out of that, then that's a waste of a down. So those next few drives were kind of rough on the Eagles but I was trying not to get upset because I felt like they were feeling out the 49ers defense and that it was all going to come to fruition. Now, I did see a really great – before I get to that, let me talk about Jalen real quick. So to me, I texted you and I was like, is it Jalen just nervous or is you think he's still hurt because of the overthrows? And I think I think it's a combination. I think since the Chicago game where he hurt his shoulder, we have not seen a real exceptional Jalen Hurts passing performance. He's had a few decent passes like the Devontae Smith one against the Giants. But after he throws that pass to Devontae, we never see it again. And part of that is the situation has not dictated that we needed to go downfield. I really expected this to be a game where the Eagles went downfield a lot because of the that was where the 49ers were weak, but they weren't doing it, and that was surprising me. So it made me think that maybe Jalen is really hurt and he's not able to throw as accurately downfield. Another thing I think is maybe the issue is that because of his injury, he's not practicing in full with his receivers to get that timing back. So what they had earlier in the season where they were on these really in sync on these deep routes,
it's
lacking a little bit right now because they're not practicing. Now, that being said, we got another 2 weeks off. So I am really going to be curious to see when the Eagles play again, if that chemistry is back and the Jalen arm is back. It needs to be against the Chiefs, but we're not going to talk about the Chiefs. Before we get further in the game, there's a couple things I wanted to show. After Miles Sanders scored his touchdown, there was a thing that's been all over the internet right now, and it's just something I love. So I want to share this real quick. And then you talked about the offensive running game, and I felt a really good offensive breakdown of the Eagles game that I'm going to share. So let's start with Kelce and Miles celebrating the touchdown in the end zone. This thing is hilarious. If you haven't seen it. So that was great stuff. Just the Kelce thing. How can you not love a guy like that when you see that kind of stuff? So, awesome. All right, we're going to take a brief pause, and I'm going to show this two-minute clip on the offensive breakdown of the Eagles running game. I thought this was really great and something that we could share with our audience. So check this out. This is exactly what you just talked about, Tubby, and it breaks it down really well, is how the Eagles took advantage of the way the 49ers line up their linebackers and exploited it to the tune of 106 rushing yards. So all those 49ers fans who think you know football, maybe you don't that much.
Early in the game, the Niners almost got a safety on this play, but on this play, the Eagles staff noticed something they exploited throughout the rest of the game. They noticed to the three receiver side, the Niners lined up their strong safety and nickel to the same side, which meant to the weak side, they only had three defenders defending the run to that side. So Bosa almost gets a safety here. He just makes an incredible play, but again, the Eagles are going to exploit this. So throughout the second quarter, they start gashing the Niners by getting these three receiver sets and running to the weak side. Here they're in the red zone. You can see they have a three receiver bunch. Again, the nickel and strong safety are lined up to the bunch. The running back is lined up to that side as well, so he could get across the quarterback and run a weak side run. Again, you only have three defenders on that weak side. And then the Eagles are running a center pin and pull with Jason Kelce leading the way, so they add another number to that side, which creates even a bigger disadvantage for the Niners to score a touchdown here. So in the third quarter, Niners finally make their adjustment. Again, you see the Eagles in a bunch formation with the running back to the strong side, so he could run to the weak side. But now they're moving their strong safety, Hufanga, to the weak side, and they're blitzing him off the edge and having the defensive end on that side crash inside. And it works well on this play. You see Hufanga come outside, set the edge. Bosa does a nice job of holding his ground and tapping the running back for a short gain. And then the Eagles, just on the same drive, have an absolutely perfect call for what the Niners are doing. This is just brilliant coaching. So essentially what they're doing is they're saying, Niners, you're going to add one. All right, we're going to add one too. And we have a quarterback that can run. That's why we have this mathematical advantage. And they're going to run that same pin and pull, but they're going to have the running back block Hufanga, and they're going to have Kelce lead block for Hurts. So it's essentially the same play, but you're doing it with an added blocker and the quarterback as your running back. Great coaching and just brilliant job by the Eagles all around.
So that right there, that analysis to me, it shows that the Eagles coaches are always thinking. And you see what the 49ers are doing by trying to line up defensively to stop the run. And every time they stop it, the Eagles use, when they have a positive defensive play, they use it against them. Because then they start to think, oh, we got this. And then they just run Hurts. When you see stuff like that, and you see that this is how the Eagles are piling up running yards, it is impressive. It makes me feel good about our offensive coaching staff. That they don't take anything for granted. So like I said, in the first half when they were running on first down, it was kind of baiting the 49ers. See what they're you basically start ticking off their tendencies. So I was really impressed with that. And then to me, I'm going to add this on, jump to the end of the game. I saw something today that Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen at the end of the game, when the Eagles pretty much they were going to win this game. They ran 18 straight running plays. And Nick Sirianni said he did that, and Steichen did that, to prove it could be done. So the 49ers, without a quarterback that can throw, could have done the same thing and didn't and couldn't. The Eagles did not throw the ball for 18 plays in a row. I didn't even notice that.
Not me.
But then I watched it back, and I'm blown away with their coaching on their just amazing on the line. You got to love what Stoutland does with this freaking line and how disciplined they are and how good they are. So yeah. It's great. Yeah, but man, getting back to the game itself, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, just getting back to the game. I think there was a lot of things going on in this game. I think after the first drive, you get the turnover from there. Then you don't score. So you go, you're a little disappointed, you know, with that. You know, you don't score. You have the third and four. You go, all right, right at the 50. Okay, they throw a slant or something to Aiden. You give it to Gainwell, which I wasn't mad at, but it got stopped. I mean, mind you, this is still a good Niners defense, really fresh in the first quarter. So I was like, man. So then when you see Josh Johnson come back out, I think just naturally, just a human instinct, you start to press. You start to go, oh, man, we have to now score before these guys, before Purdy comes back in. You know, you almost feel like you have to, like, oh, man, this is our moment. And I think, you see Josh Johnson come out there and you get the ball back. And then now you feel, once you see Josh Johnson come on the field, you get to the realization like, oh, man, they're playing with a journeyman right here. You know, it's a 15-year guy. You know, he can surprise you. Don't get me wrong. You know, he knows an offense, but they just picked this guy up in December. Obviously, I just found that out of the game. They just picked this guy up in December. But you go, okay. And then that's where you have that pass, the age that you feel like you have to have because you're pressing. You're trying to hit a home run when all you really need is singles and doubles, which we figured out later with the run game
right. And
all of those things. So I think they started to press. I think that was the part. I think they were just trying to knock them out. And when we go three straight drives, when we punt, that's something that we haven't seen all year from us. While we know that Purdy is out and we're like, we need points. Let's get points before they magically put together back together and start the quarterback and this miracle happens. And I think once the Niners scored, we got our heads out of our butts. And then we started really pressing the issue. And we had that 14 play, you know, 6 minutes and 53-yard drive to put it up 14. And then you have the Josh Johnson fumble. I'm not going to get too deep, but you have the Josh Johnson fumble. And right. I credit, if you want to, yeah, I credit well, the Josh Johnson fumble. Go ahead, you want to go with the Purdy thing real quick?
I did want to talk about that before we get too deep, is because okay. We have really addressed it, is that, again, this is really the play that changed everything. Hassan Reddick coming in there, and you got to say that he was the best player on the field. But like you said, it all led to everything else that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And this is a legit hit. There's nothing wrong with this play. And to me, a lot of the 49er fans are in denial. A lot of media are in denial about that if this hit doesn't happen, that the 49ers would have had a chance. And I'm saying to all of you, if you watch this hit and you watch the way that Hassan Reddick came in on Johnson later and the way that Sue tackled Johnson and put him out of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know why you think that if Purdy survives this hit, he wasn't going to get taken out later on. To me, this looked like this drive is their very first drive, the 49ers. This looked to me like Daniel Jones all over again. This could have easily been a 5-sack day, and Purdy would have been on his back for most of it. I think him going out gives them this sense of being able to claim that they, oh, well, we would. Well, you can't live on ifs, dude. You can't live on ifs.
The play call.
Yeah, I can guarantee you the Eagles, the way they harassed them in the first half, was going to happen all game long if it was a close game. Yeah. Now, would it have been 31-7? Maybe not.
Right.
But it probably wouldn't have been that close. So I did want to point this out about Hassan Reddick because he's just valuable. First player in Eagles history to record 1.5 sacks in consecutive playoff games in the divisional round. He had 2 sacks in the NFC Championship game. Reddick now has 19.5 sacks this year. the most since Reggie White sets the franchise record of 21. That's including the playoffs. Just an unbelievable first half for Hassan Reddick. He came out like a man who got snubbed for to being nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. So I just want to compare these two stats real quick. Nick Bosa in 3 playoff games, 0 sacks, 1 quarterback hit. Hassan Reddick in 2 playoff games, 3.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hits. So that's a big freaking difference for the supposed Defensive Player of the Year, who whined and cried after the game was over, but yet never got to the Eagles. And like you said, Purdy goes out, and we get Josh Johnson in, and I just love these two memes. There's so many memes that came out of this, but this is two of my favorites, was the Josh Johnson, the Jamie Foxx being told he's going in at quarterback. If you've seen that movie, and then
that's brutal. Even going the one on the right, fumble on the play. Yeah. I'm sorry.
When you pay $2,000 to watch Josh Johnson play at the NFC Championship game, I can imagine what it was like for those 49ers who all traveled out there and disrespected the Eagles. They got yelled at all day, cursed at all day for not, and we'll talk about it later, but for not just disrespecting the Eagles, for just showing up with the arrogance that they did instead of respecting your opponent. They came in with a swag and then pay all that money to see Josh Johnson get trotted out there. It is a lot of fun. So what are you going to say?
It's just like Cowboys fans. Now, with the Purdy play, even if you walk back to Purdy play, they were doomed for the start. It was almost like Kyle Shanahan wasn't paying attention to what the Eagles did well all year. Right. The reason, one of our weaknesses is that our ends tee off. Reddick and Sweat, these guys they get really deep. And what hurts is sometimes when quarterbacks are able to run, you know, let them go by and then run. What I thought was just irresponsible, when you look at the play, first of all, it's a play action, right? So you got a guy in his first drive, nervous as hell. You're trying to set up a play action that it's not really set up yet, right? Still a first drive. You go play action, right? That takes time. So now he has to turn around, right? Take another 3 steps, then look for his primary receiver. His first one, boom. And then by that time, he's already hit. The play took, if you watch that play, it took. And then you take Reddick on a backup tight end. It's like, that was terrible coaching. Like, I'm trying to get a little deeper in the game. How do you put? Would we put Doyle on Bosa? No.
Or Stoll.
Not without help. I trust Goddard a little bit, but I wouldn't put the backup is the point. You put the backup on arguably the best pass rusher in football. I bet if you took snap for snap, I think I would believe Bosa may have more snaps than Reddick, at least rushing, because he drops back too. But anyway, but just kudos to the Eagles defense for pinning their ears back, and really bad on Shanahan for having Reddick being blocked by a backup tight end to do play action and have your quarterback take another 3 steps. He was going to get hit by somebody. That's why I believe that it would have happened to him all day.
It's a great point, because that's another one that's overlooked, is that everybody's saying that if Purdy doesn't get hurt, well, if you would have blocked Reddick with better players, Purdy wouldn't have gotten hurt. But that wasn't the last time they tried to block him with that tight end. And Reddick came in when he got the recovered fumble. They're still trying that crap. It just was it's a bad look, and they don't want to admit they look bad. And as far as like the quarterback situation, I love this 49ers quarterback room right here in this meme, just all banged up. And the thing that I love about this is they picked up Johnson in December. Like you said, they should have went out and got 2 quarterbacks to come into an NFC championship game with Christian McCaffrey as your third string quarterback is ludicrous.
Irresponsible.
You know, now granted, the Eagles had Gardner Minshew out there on the bench, and let's point this out. Had this been Jalen Hurts that would have gotten hurt and gotten put out in the first quarter, and then Gardner Minshew come into the second and get concussed, no one would be crying about the Eagles right now. No one.
Nobody.
Not a single person would be mourning. They would just be going, well, see, blah, blah, blah. You can't, you know, the Eagles couldn't get it done. The 49er defense was too much for them and put their quarterbacks out. But you put the shoe on the other foot, and it is what it is. Here's another meme I love, really, but the new 49ers logo. And the one on the right there, the left there, the wheelchair handicap 49ers logo is just brilliant. That's one of my favorites I've seen all day. And then you got to look at this thing on the right, this meme that came out. Jimmy Garoppolo suffers broken foot. Trey Lance suffers fractured fibula and ligament damage that requires two surgeries. Brock Purdy suffers a torn UCL that will sideline him 6 months. Josh Johnson with a concussion. And then it says at the bottom, playing quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's offense is basically being casted for a Final Destination. It's just the Reaper keeps taking him out one by one.
Wow.
And again, it was no different. Now the Eagles didn't have their share of close moments. Like the Josh Johnson drive worried me, because here we go again, like when Jordan Love came in the Packers game and Gannon just was like, all right, go on. Because I think Gannon takes time to get used to a quarterback and he gives him way too much respect. So yeah. We were letting Josh Johnson complete these passes over the middle, because it wasn't all McCaffrey on that drive. It was right. Just that final play was just devastating. So many missed tackles. And the Eagles were really on their heels. And then, you know, just when things like started to get worse and, you know, the Eagles are sitting there struggling with this 49ers team, the wire happened, which this meme says the 49ers special teams player of the game. Because honestly, I don't know how they couldn't acknowledge that the wire might have deflected it. I guess, I mean, looking at it, to me, you couldn't actually see it, but it was obvious that the ball moved. We're just lucky that this didn't have a massive impact, because it gave them great field position.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they couldn't get anything done offensively without Purdy or Johnson.
In the field position, while we're here, the Eagles started with horrendous field position on a few of those drives they had to punt. I mean, after the fumble, that was like their best start when after right. the Purdy fumble. But the next two series in which they punted on, they started at the 15 in the 6-yard line. So
right. There
were a few rough starts. You know, they had to go basically length of the field. And I thought the punting put us in a lot of bad spots in this game. And I thought our punting was horrendous. I know the wire was the one, but the rest of them were still questionable. We did have, I think, one good punt on the game. But I was telling Ish, I was like, man, low key, we're being out punted right now because we're starting deep every single time.
Yeah, Kern had a 53-yarder in the second quarter before their drive that tied it up. But after that, you know, he kind of settled in. He didn't have a great second half. I'm hoping Aaron Sipos might be ready for the Super Bowl, because mm-hmm. I don't think they can ride in there with Kern. I'm really hoping that Sipos is ready to go.
Blocks.
Yes. Yeah. And not all his fault. It was one time he was in the back of the end zone, so nothing you can do about mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But that drive that the Eagles had to bring it toward a close at the end of the half was just another one that was a grinded out Jalen passing short passes when it needed to. Again, I have to admit when I'm wrong, and I try to. Gainwell is really growing on me as coming in off the bench. This three-headed monster attack that they've been doing, I was wrong. I really wanted to see Miles. But what Gainwell and Boston Scott did with Sanders to be able to keep them fresh against the number one rushing defense, because you could say all you want about Brock Purdy being out and Josh Johnson being out. They still dropped 160 yards rushing on the number one rush defense. To me, if the 49ers really wanted to have made a statement in this game shouldn't have been no more than 16-7, 19-7. They let us score four rushing touchdowns, the number one rushing defense. Right. Now, you could say everything about fatigue and always getting off the field. They had their chance to stay on the field a little bit, and they're running the clock to keep their defense fresh. They just could not stop the run. Right. And it was evident in this drive right before the half. And then they get the touchdown. Miles Sanders again gets a touchdown. Miles Sanders got the second touchdown. And then you had the fumble, and then they get the ball back again, and Boston Scott gets the touchdown to make it 21-7 right before the half. And this graphic right here says a lot, because when it was 7-7 with 1 minute and 36 seconds left in the half, and then it's 21-7 with 16 seconds left in the half. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
That, to me, going into the half, it couldn't have been any better for the Eagles.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, those plays, Those plays are game changers. You know, folks are like, well, if Josh Johnson didn't drop the ball, then, you know, it could have went in half a little closer. Well, if Mahomes didn't drop the ball, Cincinnati scored off of Mahomes dropping the football, right? That was just a Mahomes fluke, right? I will still go back to we had Josh Johnson shaking in his boots. You put this man in this position again. He heard the wolves howling from the trees. He heard them coming through the woods, man. He saw their eyes when he shined his light in the woods, man. And he knew he was up against it. He had already been hit by Reddick, and he was pressing. It was a lot at stake. You're down now. It's a lot different when you're down. You're down, you're pressing, and you know you're the only quarterback you got. You know Purdy cannot even get back in. This is all up to you. You never imagined that you would be in this moment today. And I think it was a lot for him. I think that's why he fumbles, because he's nervous. He's nervous, right. And he's anticipating the snap because he's up against it. So, hey, shout out to us for being there to you know, pick up that fumble and go ahead and go down there and score, man.
Like you said, you know, we're talking about a team that bragged about being able to put anybody at quarterback because they had Lance, they had Garoppolo, and then Purdy. So why couldn't Johnson get done? And Johnson did lead a touchdown drive. So they're whining about this. But yet he made a key mistake. So you want to sit there and point out, oh, the Eagles, you beat a third to fourth string quarterback. Dude, we beat you. We beat your number one defense. I didn't see anybody. I like what somebody said on Good Morning Football on Monday, because I don't normally watch the national sports media, but I wanted to see what they had to say. And I forget which one of the guys said it. But he said, look, Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson didn't fall off the bus heading to the locker room and get injured.
Exactly.
They got on that field healthy, and the Eagles took them out legit without an illegal. You know, they didn't like do like the 49ers did Pollard. It didn't seem like the 49ers were too sad about Pollard getting a broken ankle, right, a broken leg when they laid on it in their game. Again,
very iffy tackle.
Yeah. Again, karma. Again, karma with this team. Mm-hmm. You don't mind injuring other teams' players. And I can't believe I'm sympathizing with the Cowboys, but it's true. You don't mind injuring other teams' players, but then when it happens to you, oh, it's not right. And oh, I hope you feel good about beating. Well, I hope you feel good about beating a Dallas Cowboys team that with Pollard in the lineup might have beat your ass. Just saying, guys. So going back to the game in like the third quarter, they get the ball to start it. And then we get, again, within a matter of minutes, you get Sue up the middle, which God bless it. You got this defensive line. Our second stringers on this defensive line could start anywhere in the NFL. With Linval Joseph, who gets the fumble recovery, and then Sue, who comes in at tackle and makes a great play again, trying to get to the ball, doesn't do anything illegal, doesn't lay on Johnson, but his head hits the turf, and it's bye-bye Johnson. And then at that point, it was the Eagles had an opportunity. They didn't get – I think they went 3-and-out on that one.
Right.
Their first possession of the half, which was disappointing. But then again, the 49ers couldn't do anything. And then the Eagles began that massive drive. I think it was 7 minutes at least.
91 yards.
Yes.
Mind you, so we're starting on the nine. Mind you, bad field position all game. 7 minutes and 50 seconds. Now, I'm not going to break my arm patting myself on the back too hard. But if you remember the last pod, I made the point. If Brock Purdy didn't, he could potentially get hurt because of guys like who? Sue. I said, guys like Sue know how to lean on you a little bit. That was a clean play by Sue.
Yep.
But he knows how to do it is the point. He did it to Patrick Mahomes, which we'll get into. But he just leans on you extra hard, man. So when he took Johnson out, I said, look at that. That is Sue doing his job. He gets on you, he is going to punish you. And that is the point. A lot of guys won't punish you. Sue, if he gets his hands on you legally, he will punish. He will maximize the punishment before he gets the old Sue will get penalties, but the new Sue will just punish you to the max and leave it there. And that's how Josh Johnson got out of there, man, because he's a beast, Nebraska's own.
Yeah, exactly. And then the drive that the Eagles had in the third quarter, to me, that it was the end-all, be-all of the drives. It made me feel better than anything that came before it. And because, again, we're taking the fact that the 49ers were probably not going to score many points. But what the Eagles had to do at this point, up 21-7, they couldn't punk out and not put any more points up on the board. And honestly, they needed to continue to run the ball well. And they kept doing it with this mix of just Jalen and Boston and Miles and Gainwell. And it came down the field. And to me, I texted you that that we needed Jalen's passing game. But Jalen proved to me with that RPOs like we talked about and the runs, like we saw in that offensive breakdown where he was able to run to the left. And then the big play for the 14-yard run to the right where Jalen just takes off. Again, this is a guy who's got an injured shoulder, but yet he's still taking off and putting his body on the line for this team. And then they get the personal foul call.
Oh yeah,
The 15-yard, which was a legit, not unlike maybe the Mahomes one, was a little bit sketchy. Legit, but a little bit.
It was legit.
He flopped a little bit, but we'll talk about that when we talk about
it. But he did a good job. Touch the quarterback. Everybody in mama know you can't touch the quarterback next to the sideline.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's like Graham at the end of the game. You just can't touch him. You just can't touch him.
Yeah, it was a bad look, but the Hurts one was like really foul.
Oh, legit. That was
so bad. That was, again. That's what we saw a lot in the 49ers in the second half, and it's kind of ticked me off because we know you're down two quarterbacks. You don't have to start getting to the point where you want to injure us when we're on our way to the Super Bowl because you're upset that your own team lost two quarterbacks. The Eagles had nothing to do with that other than playing football. But they get the ball down on the goal line, and all we heard about was that scrum, how the 49ers are going to stop that scrum. And then what do? They just keep doing it until it worked. I guarantee you, they went for it on third and one. They went for it in second, didn't get it, and then they did it again on third. If they had not got on third, I guarantee you Sirianni would have done that scrum again on fourth and one and gotten that scrum in with the quarterback sneak to put him up 28. After that, it was all over but the crying. Elliott adds a field goal at the in the fourth quarter, which put it away at 31-7 is the final. It's just great stuff. Eagles, first half alone, had 69 rushing yards. The Eagles are the second team this season to rush for three TDs in a game against the 49ers, but they did that by halftime, which is, again, it's just unreal. And they had four altogether. This is one of my favorite things. After that touchdown, a little Madden meme there where your opponent has quit the match when it got up 28-7. Basically the 49ers wanted to go home after that. And that's when they started pulling out the ridiculous stuff like Trent Williams here. I've heard 49er fans applauding Trent Williams. And I'm like, dude, threw a guy who's a third of his body weight to the ground like a rag doll. And you're actually proud of this man. This is when I went to the 49er fans that although Brock Purdy's a good kid, they didn't deserve to go to the Super Bowl with an attitude like this and the way that they've approached this game. The 49er fans want to laud themselves as this great franchise. When they do stuff like this, and then they try to paint the Eagles fans as that's what everybody's done, is that the media and everybody's painted us as the thugs when this right here shows you who the thugs were. And you could talk about him and Debo grabbing each other's face masks and tussling, but that was between him and Debo. Kevon Wallace was not going to injure Debo by grabbing his face mask. This is pure frustration, and this is pure thuggery compared to what they accuse the Eagles of. So he doesn't do it
to Jordan Davis. He doesn't do it to Jordan Davis. It's a weak move on his part, but he's always starting fights at times. But this is what the Eagles do. They demoralize you. Every team that the Eagles play in these playoffs, well, it was just the Giants before that, but you remember the Giants when they, towards the end of the game, you see the players looking up like, they just look exhausted. They look like, man, they are really those guys. You know, I will give credit to at least a lot of people did pick the Eagles before the game. I was very surprised about that. The line moved from 1.5 to 3. I was like, whoa. Yeah. I was really surprised by that. Most people picked the Eagles, but I don't think they picked them to win like in that fashion. But I think most people will tell you, even if Brock Purdy played, even after that first drive, they talk about the injury, but they don't talk about the turnover. Like, he turned the ball over in part you know, so he's still first drive turnover. So that's still his performance. He was getting off the field regardless if he was injured or not. They were leaving the field because of him and a really bad play call. But every time I watch it back, I say, he can't put a rookie in that spot. You got to get the ball out. You can't play action. Maybe do that in the second quarter, but you can't do it then. So, yeah, man, Brock Purdy, who's tore UCL or something like that, man.
Yeah, UCL.
Out 6 months, yeah. Man. Man, just that little short – you think about the distance between his arm and Reddick's arm and just how that short distance and that force on force.
Yeah.
Tore his UCL, man. I heard it's a Tommy John surgery or something like that. So, you know, speedy recovery, you know, for real. But that sucks if you're a quarterback and you're having Tommy John surgery when you were, man, probably the front runner to lead this team. You definitely would have had the support of the Niners fans. But I still wish you a speedy recovery. But
– yeah.
Dems the breaks.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I'm just tired of. I have a friend who's a 49ers fan, and she posted today something about the Eagles' easy schedule. And I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go now. Mm-hmm. You're upset and you're lashing out. When I said before that if it had happened the other way around, you wouldn't be crying for the Eagles. You'd be dancing that you were going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Somebody that was happy, another quarterback that was happy, is this guy. This is unreal. He's taking a lot of heat for this. Showing him with the Eagles up by 3 touchdowns, and Jimmy Garoppolo walking up and down the sidelines with the biggest shit-eating grin on his face, man. Dude is, again, I guess when you're a competitor and you don't want to see anybody succeed in that position other than you, he's had to sit there and watch Brock Purdy win game after game after game, knowing that they were going to kick him to the curb anyway. After this season, and even before the season, before Trey Lance got down, they were going to kick him. So the fact is, yeah, that was just a hilarious look, man. I tell you what. One of the other things that cracked me up was the light poles of Philly got their own Twitter account. And after the game on January 29th at 5:02 p.m. when the Eagles were winning, the light poles posted this on Twitter, and it says, oh fuck, no, oh god, no. They were panicking because the Eagles fans were coming for them, and the Philadelphia police replied and on Twitter, it's okay, we oiled you guys all up, you're safe, which the light poles of Philly responded, you lubed us up, don't you see why that's worse?
Oh,
this was, man, one of the best Twitter. And then I got on the side over here. The grease did not work.
It never works.
It never works. Yeah, the Eagles fans got on the light pole. The celebration was beautiful. They had the dude throwing Jello shots on a board. And he had a bow and arrow and was shooting them into the crowd. And the thing is that cracks me up is that it was peaceful. You didn't hear about anybody getting beat down. You didn't hear any 49ers fans getting the hell beat out of them, even though they got yelled at a lot. They got cursed at a lot. Joey Bosa got yelled at because he was there supporting his brother, and they gave him all kinds of hell.
Oh, man.
And he got so rattled, he started challenging them with how much money I make. I ain't worried about it. Dude got rattled.
Tell me when you're losing the conversation when you start talking about your money. Just or you can have a better comeback, you clown.
Yeah.
And then they harassed him. Then they said it's 4 quarters of hell. Because he was in the booth, and the Eagles fans could see him in the booth, and they turned around the whole game and was just talking crazy to him all 4 quarters. I don't know who had it worse, the 49ers on the field or Bosa up in the booth.
Yeah, exactly. He was still talking to him down, and so yeah, mm-hmm. the Eagles fans. And the thing is that what's so funny is that after the Cowboys lost to the 49er fans, they had several altercations outside of the stadium where Cowboys fans were beating the ass out of other Cowboy fans. This happened last year when they lost to Tampa Bay in the divisional round, and they started to beat up Tampa Bay fans, beating up themselves. Mm-hmm. And yet when we talk about the Eagles, everybody talks about, and it's just this mentality that people are so thin-skinned, they cannot handle a little bit of yelling at their face. The Eagles fans, I know, you don't see that many reports of them curb stomping somebody.
Right.
What you do hear is you see a lot of fingers in your face, a lot of middle fingers in your face. You hear a lot of trash talk. But I want to play a video. It's a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot to unpack in this episode. And this is from a Niners fan's perspective. This is a great video. It's 3 minutes, but it's worth the listen. And when I heard it today, after all the whining that Niners fans did, I went, this guy gets it. So if you need a break real quick, this is going to be 3 minutes, but you should hear this. This guy gets it about what the Philadelphia fan experience is. And if you don't know, like say, it's a Philly thing. If you don't know what it's like to be an Eagles fan, this guy tells it. And this is coming from a 49ers fan. So this is interesting.
NFC Championship game day experience. I had a blast. If you're sensitive in the ears and light in the ass, turn the channel. This ain't for you. If you're going to Philly, there's a few things you should know. Have thick skin and a sense of humor. If that's on you, don't go to Philly. If you take everything personal and you're light in the ass, stay the hell out of Philly. That is a recommendation from yours truly. Being the NFC Championship in Philadelphia, I already knew this game was going to be really rowdy. And the Bird fans did not disappoint. So if you think you're going to go to a football game, an NFC Championship in another city wearing another color and not think you're going to get fucked with, you got another thing coming. The chants and the curse words are all the same. They all say the same thing. They tell you to go, go, go. If you really translate that correctly, it means stick around and find out what happens. They also have a big one. Get the fuck out of here. They're not meaning it that way. They're just saying this is our house. But really, they want you the fuck out of there. If you're able to get over the game day cursing and you get in with them and they find out you're pretty cool, they'll just start to yell, asshole, and then everybody jumps in. It's the funniest shit in the world. You gotta have thick skin for this one, because even the little kids are running up to you calling you asshole. And it's just not like a regular asshole. It's a really, really drawn out. It's drawn out really good. I did make a lot of friends here. Got a lot of numbers. Got some people on TikTok, man. The Bird fans are pretty cool. But if you're not into getting mama joked, don't go to Philly. These guys are original, man. I think the mama jokes may have started there. My favorite yo mama joke was these big cornbread white boys run up to me. They're like, hey, we're going to pull a choo-choo on your mom so that we can fit the big Duke in her butt. Well, the big Duke is the football. I left out a lot of things that they said because they were specific about how they wanted to run a choo-choo on my mom. But I didn't get mad. I just told them I was adopted and go find her if you want. And they thought it was pretty funny and they invited me to eat with them. Great barbecue, great people, great music. They're just like us in the West Coast. They're just on the East Coast. Very easily misunderstood. Yeah, the Niners did lose, but the experience was still one that I would do again. I really would go back to Philly. When they were scoring a touchdown, though, fireworks all over the place, the whole stadium, and they start yelling, "Fly Eagles, fly!" I mean, it was pretty cool, man. If you're not into being rowdy, don't go to Philly. That was my game day experience. Only have a few seconds. Go Niners! Go Niners! Go Niners!
It was just absolutely brilliant from this guy, and that's, to me, honestly, he gets it.
Yeah,
and so many people don't. They misinterpret the cursing and the thing for what it really is. Mm-hmm. And he said it like, if you are cool with an Eagles fan, even if you're a Dallas fan, if you're cool with them and just go, what's up, man? What's your beef? What's going on? I have never seen an Eagles fan not offer somebody a beer, not offer somebody food, because they're the enemy. They will give you shit. They will tell you your team sucks and we're going to beat their ass today. If you want to do what the 49ers did and you want to completely disrespect them, completely come into their stadium and act like you were going to walk out of there as NFC champions without a fight, that's the problem. Not many people get that. And I'm glad this guy said that.
A lot of people walk away when they come to an Eagles game, especially if the Eagles win, if it's like a Monday night game. A lot of people talk about the Fly Eagles Fly song. They're like, man, that's one of the things, because, you know, I've been to some states. I know the Bears, they play a song. I know Cincinnati plays that song from like
horrible.
The 20s.
The Lions have a really bad one. The
Lions have an old one too.
Horrible.
Yeah, just like you can tell how old their franchise is. And then you have this kind of modern song from Fly Eagles Fly. Everybody knows it. They play it on Madden. Everybody knows it. Even if you don't like it, you know it. You know it's coming. And, you know, I always go back and remember that even our how well we traveled away, we went to the indie game and we all sung Fly Eagles Fly at the end of the indie game. I know you guys, you did it in Detroit and in Indy again this year. So, you know, those moments of no matter where an Eagles fan is, when you hear the song, it's a way to connect with the other Eagles fans. And a lot of people walk away saying that Fly Eagles Fly song can be almost deafening and really humbling to see. You know, it's like when you see other countries sing the whole national anthem together, but our country doesn't. It's kind of like that when you see another country like, dang, they sung it together. That was nice. That's a country they sung it. So that's what it is, man. It's like tough. Our national anthem of the Eagles. And you will hear it. I hope you hear it a lot on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, so do I. Speaking of Super Bowl Sunday, before we get out of here, just a little bit of things to talk about. We are going to do a lot of things during Super Bowl week. We're going to do some live streams just to talk about Media Day, just some quick things. We're also going to have a breakdown of the Super Bowl and do a preview of the Eagles versus the Chiefs. But, man, before we even get there, we just got to acknowledge a few things. One of the biggest things about this game is it's the Kelce Bowl. Travis and Jason, our beloved Jason Kelce, and Travis is kind of cool too. What are the odds? I love what Travis said today on, I think it was Pat McAfee. It was one of those shows where they were like, what are the odds that you guys would start a podcast and then end up meeting each other in the Super Bowl? And then Jason or Travis alluded to the fact, well, yeah, that's in the script. That's everybody's talking about the NFL being a script this year. But I also love that Travis said that his mom wins either way. I love this is their mom down there with the combination of both jerseys. Mom's going to win either way because one of her sons is going to get another Super Bowl ring. That's a huge story.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Jason said today he actually put on a Chiefs jersey after the Eagles game. And he said as soon as it was over, he took it off and he is not wearing another Chiefs jersey. He's officially done being a Chiefs fan this season. He's got the zero focus. Hopefully he gives us some insight on how to stop his brother from freaking killing, opposing teams on the field. He's 100-yard tight end just about every game. He's just a monster to control. Another big story of this game, and we're going to talk more about it when we do our breakdown, but we got to acknowledge 14 years as Eagle head coach Andy Reid, now coming to play the Eagles, you know, on a neutral side, of course, but Super Bowl and trying to win one with another team, trying to win his second with the Chiefs. There's a lot of love. We met Andy. We loved him before he even started to do what he did. We just always wish the best for Andy Reid. So this is going to be interesting to see how this goes because, like I said, he's a much-loved coach. I think that this is an interesting Super Bowl because of the personal aspect of it. There's not a lot of hatred going into the Super Bowl. It's a team where team on team where we just want to see the best game, and I don't hate the Chiefs at all. I love Andy Reid, love Travis Kelce. Think Mahomes is a fantastic talent. I got nothing but respect for this team, and I think I think it's the same the other way around. But I wanted to point out this is so weird because we're playing Andy Reid and Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. Do you remember the start of the season where the Eagles season started off where it was this kind of revenge or this family of Eagles bowl? We had to face Deuce Staley, our former running back, who was the running backs coach of the Lions in the first game. Then they had to play Jalen Reagor against the Vikings in the second game. Then they had to beat Carson Wentz, the former QB, in the third game. Then they had to face Doug Peterson, the former coach, in the fourth game. And then Zach Ertz of the Cardinals in the fifth game. And it just made me think back to that going, wow, out of everything that could have happened, the Eagles are going to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and face Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. Just more stories. It's just unbelievable. Again, like Travis Kelce said, that's the way it was supposed to be scripted. So it all works out. Another thing to note of this matchup going in is Andy Reid, 64 years old. He's been a head coach for 24 seasons. Nick Sirianni is 41 and has been a head coach for 2 seasons. The 22-season coaching gap between the Super Bowl coaches, it ties for the largest experience gap in championship history. It ties Sean McVay and Bill Belichick, who did it in Super Bowl 53. That was also a 22-season coaching gap. Wow. Another great note about this. Unbelievable stuff. There's so many stories about the Eagles players being their first Super Bowl. But Jordan Mailata, 5 years ago, he didn't even know how to play football. he didn't know how to play the game. He had to be taught as a seventh-round draft pick how to play for the Eagles. And now he is going to be the starting left tackle for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Also, we got to say that this is Dallas's first appearance in the Super Bowl since 1996. And when I mean Dallas Goedert, who is going. Dallas, you knew you were going to the Super Bowl this year. You said it all year that you were going. And Dallas, you are going to the Super Bowl. The dance he did, the little a floss he did at the end was great during the NFC Championship celebration. So congrats to Dallas Goedert for going to the Super Bowl. So much great stuff. Also, just some quick coaching news before we depart. DeMeco Ryans actually was hired today. Again, I had heard he had said that he would not sign with the Texans, but when a job's a job, you can put away a lot of stuff. And he was their number one choice. And Gannon finished a close second by him in the job search there. So DeMeco Ryans was hired today. Frank Reich was hired as the coach of the Panthers. Sean Payton today was agreed to terms with the Denver Broncos. So a lot going on in the coaching ranks when it gets down to just two teams. But Jonathan Gannon said the night of the NFC Championship game that he is staying with the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly is keeping me good, bad, or indifferent. And that's well said. I'm staying here. And my thing was, you knew you weren't going to get the job in Houston or nobody was going to hire you, Jonathan Gannon. So we're stuck with Gannon. I can't say I'm ecstatic about that. Vic Fangio, who would have been Gannon's successor, ended up getting hired down in Miami to be their defensive coordinator. So we wouldn't have gotten Vic Fangio, which I would have been happy about. I really want a guy like DeMeco Ryans. I think that what he did with the 49ers, because he gets a lot of those guys out. Yeah, and I couldn't imagine what a guy like that with that type of defensive scheme would do in Philly. We would be dominant for years with the talent that we have on defense. I think this off zone, we'll talk about when we preview the Chiefs game, it could really hurt us against somebody like the Chiefs. We'll see. A lot more stuff to talk about, but we'll do that when we do the breakdowns. There, like I said, there's so many things that came out of this game, but we're running really long. So did want to mention 4 rushing touchdowns in a single game in playoff history, which is just amazing. That's the most in franchise history. The Eagles now have passed the 1924 Frankfurt Yellow Jackets and hold the record for most rushing touchdowns in a season, including playoffs. They have 39 rushing touchdowns on the year. The Frankfurt Yellow Jackets had 38 in 1924. And the Packers 37 in 1962. Hell of an achievement. Also, coming up in the Super Bowl, Devontae Smith, who has just played outstanding for us this year, he could become the 4th player in history to win both the Heisman Trophy, the College Football National Championship, and the Super Bowl. The others to do it, Tony Dorsett, Charles Woodson, and Marcus Allen. So let's hope that Devontae becomes the 4th player to do that.
Yes.
Also, Landon Dickerson, who we all saw go down during the NFC Championship game. I thought Andre Dillard played amazing in relief of Dickerson. I like Andre the way Andre has been playing, so it's nice to have that depth. But Dickerson hyperextended his elbow, but is expected, the MRI was negative today, expected to play in the Super Bowl. Eagles should have all 24 of their starters for the Super 22, sorry, of their starters available for the Super Bowl. Avante made his impact felt. The entire defense played outstanding other than that one touchdown drive for the Eagles. So we're glad to see that. Before we go, I just wanted to point out my social media thing. And I think since we're running long, I'll go more on this rant at another time. But dealing with the fans, the 49er fans I did on social media, you just found that there were so many people that don't understand how football works. And this guy here, or this lady here, the fix was in. They had no chance. And it's just like, agreed. It was all about the history that's going to be made with the Kelce brothers. People legitimately believe that Brock Purdy, that the NFL wanted Brock Purdy's UCL tour so that they could have the Kelce brothers in the Super Bowl. Also that all the bad 49er, the penalties, you watch every one of those penalties. Those weren't like, and nobody is saying those weren't legit penalties. Legit. Those were all legit penalties. You know, it's like, say, Niners defense was top ranked as well. The game was predicted to be closer than it was. How could this happen? And then at the very bottom of this, the missed incomplete pass call. What? Again, we go back to the Devontae Smith thing. Are you saying that the refs are responsibility? It's just ridiculous, the things that they come up with to justify. And again, that's only 7 points. I heard another person say that if Purdy didn't go down, then, or if the Devontae Smith catch was ruled incomplete, it would have been Niners ball at that spot because it was fourth down at the 35, and Purdy probably wouldn't have gotten hurt. I'm like, dude, you're living on a lot of ifs there.
That's a lot.
If, and you're assuming that Purdy wouldn't have been touched after that in the game.
Right.
Which I'm telling you as an Eagles fan, you're kidding yourself. there's some other things we could get into, but I'm going to save all that for the next time we get together. Some of the stuff that has come out in the media already about the Philadelphia Eagles, their easy path to the Super Bowl, the fact that Hurts is not playing well and is going to get beat. It's already started, people. If you remember 2017, I remember an article that came out in USA Today that Nick Foles beat the Vikings 38-7. And the very next day in the USA Today, it said, congrats, Eagles, but now you got to face Tom Brady, so the dream is over. That was a legit article written in a sports section, not even giving the Eagles a chance. And it's starting again, even with the Mahomes, on one leg type thing, they give us no chance. So we shall see. They still have to play the game.
Oh yeah.
And we got a lot more to talk about as we get closer, but man, we've gone really long tonight, but it had to be done. It had to be done. The Eagles, winners of the NFC championship game, NFC championship. And you can't take that away from us 49ers, no matter how much you want to. Can't take it away from us Dallas Cowboy fans, no matter how much you want to. Eagles are NFC champs, and you all get to watch the Super Bowl on your couch and watch us play in it again for the second time in 5 years. Thank you for everybody for tuning in to the live stream on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, whether you did it on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. Thank you to all our podcast listeners on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We thank you so much, and many other podcast providers out there. If you want to email us or make a comment, you can do so at our email address. That is lee.bird, that's lee.bird.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Super Bowl 57, man. Already 57. God, I'm old.
Yeah.
I've almost been I'm almost as old as the Super Bowls. I'm 51. It's insane.
You've seen them, been around for almost all of them.
Almost. Sunday, February 12th, 6:30 p.m. Eagles, Chiefs. With all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Yeah, man. Feels good. It really does feel good. Man, congrats to the Eagles for making it this far. There's one more game to go. If you can bring that last slide up. One of the most glaring things here is that, man, it's the first time two black quarterbacks, a lot of storylines, but it's the first time two black quarterbacks have played in the Super Bowl. I just think back just real quick to when we went to the Hall of Fame and we saw the Warren Moon clip when he left and went to Canada. And just that track back through just a little history and like, dang, to have two black quarterback starting is just awesome, man. Two very, very talented young, and just the future of the NFL now, man. Just crazy. But be dope to watch, man. Congrats to the Birds. Hopefully I can come back again and say, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll talk to you guys next week, man. Super Bowl week is upon us. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you again soon.
Yeah.